This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. Now, here's Chelsea Messenger and Michael Jenkins.
Joining us on the Roman guest line is CBS Sports and Odyssey NFL insider Jason Lockenfour. You can hear Jason with Brian Baldinger on Baldy's Breakdowns with new episodes out each and every week. Just search Baldy on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast. Jason, always good to hear from you on this Tuesday. And let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the more curious cases in the NFL, because just when they look like they're starting to put something together, they lay an egg like they did with the Giants. What happened last weekend?
Oh, boy. Well, four turnovers. That'll do it. Getting away from sort of what you do best, running the football when you get into the red zone, you know, that'll do it. A bunch of drop passes. Including several in close and late situations where it is a one-score game and you are moving the ball, and then culminated or punctuated or whatever by Jalen Reagor letting the ball pretty much hit both of his hands without any interaction with an opponent on a 4th-and-10 in the end zone, and then the ball somehow hits the ground. Yeah, that's a tough one for the Eagles because they did their thing on the ground. They shut down a suspect Giants offense that, you know, Freddie Kitchens, whatever, it doesn't matter who's calling the plays. It was still 264, I think, net yards of offense for the Giants. But you know, they held on and won. And now Washington wins last night, and maybe Washington's the, you know, team that comes out of nowhere in the NFC East and gets a wild card spot or pushes for a wild card spot till the end. But that's certainly one the Eagles would want back because they were the better team and they should have won.
Speaking of turnovers, the Ravens did not play any clean football.
No.
Against the Browns. It was not a fun game to watch. Yeah, and especially for Ravens fans, I'm assuming, what was it, 4 picks from Lamar Jackson? It was not a clean game on the stat sheet. And next up, they have the Steelers, who aren't exactly playing the best brand of football either. So what do we expect from this divisional matchup that usually is two teams that are some of the best in the league, but both these teams are kind of trending in the wrong direction?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Ravens find ways to win games. I mean, ultimately, that's what it's about, right, is scoreboard and standings. And they're doing really good in both of those categories, and those are the most important ones. Now, as things get ramped up here and their schedule gets more difficult, although Pittsburgh is a really flawed football team, and then they get the Browns again, but the Browns will be in Cleveland, and they'll be coming off a bye, and then Green Bay still looms, and the Rams and the Bengals. So I don't know what the gauntlet of the playoffs will be like for this Baltimore team if they can't run the ball at all unless the quarterback's running it, and if the defense has the kind of issues that the defense has had in, I'd say, 9 of its 11 games this year, with the game against the Chargers and the game Monday night being the outliers. But I think they have more going for them than the Steelers right now. I mean, the Steelers are really that they don't have really much of an identity on both sides of the ball other than T.J. Watt, when he plays, gets a whole bunch of sacks. But, like, the linebacking core is a mess. You know, they're moving Cam Hayward around to try to stop the bleeding on a run game that since week 5, the Steelers are giving up almost 5.5 yards per carry. I mean, like, it's pretty staggering. They've given up over 1,000 yards rushing and 10 rushing TDs in 7 games. Like, yeah, that's not – you're not winning anything in this league that way, especially when your quarterback can't push the ball downfield You're not set up to play from behind, and you yourself can't run the ball. Certainly not lately. The offensive line's a problem. So I think the walls are closing in for the Steelers. But, again, in a divisional game, and as wacky as this league's been, who knows? But if I'm looking at those two teams and saying who has a better shot of making the playoffs or doing any damage in the playoffs, for me, it's the Ravens all day long. I don't think the Steelers are making the playoffs.
We're talking with CBS and Odyssey NFL Today insider Jason Lockenfour. He's also co-host of the Afternoon Drive show Inside Access on Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan in Baltimore, and he joins us each and every Tuesday. Jason, I think we've established by now that the Patriots are for real. They're playing as good a football as anyone in the NFL. Can they really make a run and win the AFC? It looks like they can.
Sure. Yeah, I don't see why not. They had a rough September. They lost a bunch of games at home. They're trying to figure out what this rookie quarterback can and can't do. They're reshuffling their offensive line to try to find the right five-man unit. They're auditioning some of these running backs. You've got brand new sets of tight ends. You know, a lot of change this offseason. And it's a smart coaching staff, and they have figured it out along the way. And they have difference makers, you know, at every unit. I mean, look at a position group on either side of the ball. There's someone amongst them doing something pretty special, except for maybe wide receiver. But with the scope of that offense, you know, the receivers just kind of get in where they fit in. And the thing there is, you know, somebody else is the star every week, whether it's Bourne or Myers. You know, it just kind of rotates. You know, Aguilar, there's no one guy you have to worry about, but that's sort of by design. The scheme for Mac Jones, the positions they put him in, the way Josh McDaniels has – you know, these crossers going into areas that are easy for a young quarterback to pick up, how effective they are in the screen game and turning low-risk, high-percentage passes into bigger gains than you might expect because of the way they block it up with that offensive line. They're a thing, you know. They're a thing. I don't think they're going to fall apart or fade. You talk to the coaches there, they feel like they can put more on Mac Jones's plate every week. Nothing gets too big for him. Nothing really rattles him, and they have extreme confidence that he's going to keep this up as the stakes rise. And I tend to believe him. So, yes, I would look out for New England.
Staying in the AFC, a couple of teams that had some hype earlier on in the year were the Bengals and the Chargers, and this week they're going head-to-head with the Bengals, favored by 3 at home. Yep. It almost looks like a fishy line to me because the matchup that screams, you know, off the page in this one is the Chargers' run defense, the worst in the NFL, and they're going against Joe Mixon, who has rushed for over 100 yards in his last two games. So am I not seeing this one clearly, or does it look like the Bengals should be the better team here?
Well, I mean, you know, the last time the Bengals looked like they'd really turned the corner and kind of got to the top of the mountain and they spanked the Ravens, right, 41-17 in Baltimore, scored 28 in the second half. They lost to the Jets and, you know what I mean, and then lost again in the Battle of Ohio and then went into that bye licking their wounds. So some of this might be Vegas just looking at this trend saying, you know, no, very few teams in that conference because it's so deep, you know, go on a 4 or 5 week run, the likes of which, say, New England's on right now. So that might be factored into it. But the Chargers have a lot of issues. I don't like the way they're handling Justin Herbert. They've got handcuffs on him. They're not letting him push the ball downfield. It's too pop gun when you've got a quarterback who's that good. And I think they could activate him even more in the run game than they do, although I understand the caveats that come with that. Defensively, they stink. I mean, they're not good. You know, Derwin James has played okay lately. When Bosa's healthy, you have to look out for him. But even him, they've got him dropping back in coverage too much. I don't like the way they're using him. I feel like they're their own worst enemy with a couple of their transcendent players. Nothing comes easy for them. They continue to make mistakes late in games. And I think Brandon Staley, who got a lot of accolades and rightfully so early on, is taking his lumps now the way most rookie coaches do and realizing just what this learning curve is all about. If the Bengals show up to play and they stick to a similar game plan from the last couple of weeks, barring a cavalcade of turnovers, they should win this game. And I think win this game going away. And, you can't convince me that we just talked about New England. I mean, you can't convince me that Cincinnati's not in that same class. I mean, Cincinnati might be the best team in this conference, but there's a lot of inexperience there. There's not a lot of playoff poise, and so some of that stuff might factor in. But on pure talent alone and on the ability to execute on any given Sunday, they're way up there for me.
Jason, I'm sure you saw some of the game last night. Before we let you go, and we have about 3 minutes left here in this segment, what is going on with Russell Wilson and Seattle? We keep waiting for him to look like Russ again, and it just hasn't happened.
I don't know what's going on there. I can't think that he's 100% or necessarily close to it, and this certainly looks like a situation with his finger there in that hand that's maybe a little more difficult to truly deal with in a game situation than he might have thought. I'm not sure about the offensive coordinator and play caller. They don't really run the ball well. They haven't been able to figure out a feature back. You know, Carson always kind of hurt. You know, Alex Collins is you're hoping and praying. You know, that guy's made the rounds for reasons. And then they suffer a couple injuries to an already not great offensive line. But it looks like not only do they not have talent, it looks like they don't necessarily have a lot of ideas either. And you can kind of see frustration mounting there. And at this point, they're not getting in the play. Like, they're not winning six straight games to get to 9-8 or whatever. That's not happening. And I think Pete Carroll, for the first time in a long time, with 3-4 weeks in the season, is going to – even he's going to know there's not much to play for here. And they're going to have to start figuring out their offseason plan and whether that's re-recruiting Russell Wilson and coming up with some grand – plan to convince him that it's really not as bad here as it looks, because with 2 years left on his contract, I don't see him doing an extension to sign up for more of this. And if that's not going to be the case, then they have to start thinking seriously internally about how they get out of this hole, because they're lacking draft picks. Their recent draft picks are not contributing, and many of them probably won't. And they need draft capital in a bad way.
He is the CBS NFL Today Insider co-host of the Afternoon Drive Show, Inside Access, on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, and he joins us each and every Tuesday throughout the season. It's our good friend Jason Lockenfora. Jason, we appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure. Have a great week, guys. Thank you.
For more, listen to The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on the BetQL Network, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.